Well, this weekend, I have the chance to talk with you three times. And tonight, we're going to talk about the topic of knowing Christ. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about seeking Christ. And then on Sunday, we'll talk about serving Christ. And that's just to give you a bit of a framework. Now, knowing Christ, I love talking about knowing Christ. Do you know that kind of the motto of the Navigators for years has been to know Christ and to make Him known? And that's what we do. We want to know Him. We want to pursue Him. And not just know about Him, but to really know Him. And then we want to help other people know Him. We have this thing that we call our calling, and it kind of amplifies this statement. And it says the Navigators are about advancing the gospel of Jesus and His kingdom into the nations through spiritual generations of men and women who are living, of men and women who are laborers, who live and disciple among the lost. And that's what we're about. And I believe this weekend will fit into all of that. I have two sets of notes here and too much stuff on here, so let me get organized. We'll put that down there. That's my journal. I don't know why I brought it. This is a, don't need that. I need the Bible. I need these notes. And they just gave me a copy of this PowerPoint, which is nice. Okay. Now, knowing Christ, everything I'm going to share with you tonight is built on this verse. It's John 17:3. And it's Jesus who speaks these words. Come in. We have some friends who came. Let's welcome them. All right. They're glad to be here waving at all their friends. If you're special friends of these people, say hello. Okay, hug time, hug time. There we go. Hello, hello. Okay, Mr. Cubs here doesn't have anybody hugging him. Someone help the guy out. Okay, there you go. There you go. Okay. All right. And we have some more. Okay. We can handle distraction. But you guys aren't a distraction. We're glad you're here. If you have a Bible with you, why don't you open it and look at John 17? And it helps a little bit to understand the context of this verse right here. This verse happens right at the end of what we call the Last Supper. And of course, the Last Supper starts when Jesus washes everyone's feet, right, in John 13. His apostles, His disciples. And they have this dinner. And it's a pretty emotional time. There's three big things that happen during the dinner. He's denied by Judas. Or Judas leaves to betray Him. He's denied by Peter. And then He teaches them a few things. He says, this is what's going to happen. He says, I'm leaving and I'm sending you help. That's basically His message. I'm leaving and I'm sending you help. And the help is a helper, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. And He says, it's good for you that I'm leaving. And then He prays at the end of this meal. And He's talking to His Father. And this is really His last, well, His last prayer with His Father, with the men that He'd given His life to. And now there were others that heard Him later when He was praying in the garden. But this is a fascinating prayer. And right at the start of it, He's talking to His Father, and He says this in John 17:3. He says, now this, Father, this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. This is eternal life. This is life, that they may know You, that they may know Me, Jesus. Any of you here math majors? Some of you? Okay. So, from Vermont? No. Does it say Vermont? Okay. Miss Vermont, right here. In a mathematical equation, the word is stands for is equals. Okay. So, you tell us. Eternal life equals what? Knowing God. Knowing Jesus. So, eternal life equals knowing God, knowing Jesus. Here's an interesting thing. There's two words for the word know. The word know in English, two words in Greek. And one is gnosko, and the other is oida. Gnosko, this is what it means. It means to have a relationship with, to know intimately, like you were talking about earlier, to have this relationship. You. What's your name again?
Robert.
Robert. It's a good word, Robert. Didn't know where you were going with it, but it was good. To intimately have this relationship. That's one word. The other word is to know about, to have information about. Now look at that verse up there and you tell me, which word is Jesus using there? This is eternal life, to know God, to know you, Father, to know me. Which know is he using? The first one or the second one? The first one. Are you with me? Yeah. Eternal life is having a relationship with God. Do you know what's cool about that is eternal life doesn't start once you die. Oh, good, I die, now I get life. No, it starts on earth when you have the opportunity to begin to relate. Just like some of you, tonight I'm going to shake your hand. You're going to say, hi, I'm Bill. I'm going to say, hi, I'm Mike. And what happens right then? We start a relationship. And it can go on. We can become good friends like Ben and I did for 10 years. I can remember shaking your hand, Ben. I can remember meeting you then. And we've become friends. There are probably other people I met then that I haven't seen again. And it's just the way it is. It's okay. But we developed a relationship. Knowing God. Having a relationship with Him. That's what we're talking about. Now, when you know someone, if Ben and I were friends, as we are, and we got together, and the whole time I did all the talking, would we have a relationship? No. We'd have a speaker and a listener, right? There's give and take. There's listening. There's talking. There's prayer. There's the Word of God. Now, what I'm going to share with you now fits in this context, but it's for the whole weekend. There's three verses in Hebrews. Hebrews 3:7, Hebrews 4:7, and Hebrews, what's the other one? 3:15. And they all say this. This phrase is in all of them. Today, if you hear His voice. Is that interesting? Hebrews 3:7. Today, if you hear His voice. And you know what? You look at Hebrews 3:15, and do you know what it says right there? Today, if you hear His voice. And then, Hebrews 4:7, the writer says the same thing. Today, if you hear His voice. And then it's interesting, it says, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. Don't harden your heart. What this tells me is that we have a God who speaks. We have a God who talks to us. He talks to us through His Word. He talks to us through people representing Him to us in our relationships, our conversations. He reminds us of the truth. Do you know what? This weekend, I think God, your God, has some things to say to you. And you know what? I think He has things to say to me. And here's my big prayer for this weekend. That you, that me, that we would hear His voice. And that we would hear what He has to say to us this weekend. And that's really what I'm praying. That my heart would be soft. See, I think He has things to say to me through some of you. Because, you know, I have this job in the Navigators that in our little part of the kingdom of God is fairly significant. But you know what? Mostly I'm your brother in Christ. Mostly I'm your brother. And mostly you're my sisters and brothers in Christ. And the ground at the foot of the cross is level. And we minister to each other. He has things to say to us. He has things to say to me. He has things to say to you. Isn't that cool? So really my heart, just so you know, this thing keeps moving around, so sorry. My heart for you is that you would hear the things that He has to say to you. Now you know what? He has some things He's going to say to Deb right here. And I'm excited about what He's going to say to Deb. And Deb, who's your friend right next to you?
Jamie.
Now, is God going to say the exact same thing to Jamie that He's saying to Deb? No. Does Jamie have the freedom to hear what God wants to say to her, even though it will be a little different? What would it be like if we all said, God has all told us to do exactly the same thing? Do you know what that would be? It would either be cultic, right, or it'd be weird. Incidentally, you know, we have one big rule in the navigators, in the collegiate navigators. You know what it is? No weirdness. Okay? No weirdness. Here's how it works. If it feels weird, it probably is, so don't do it. Okay? Just carry that with you. If it feels really weird, it probably is, so don't do it. All right? But he has the freedom to say to Jamie what Jamie needs to hear. He has the freedom to say to Deb what Deb needs to hear. And that's true for all of us. So I know that Ben prayed for us, but I'd like to pray right now for us too, that we would each be hearing the things that he has to say to us, and that we'd be helping each other listen for the things he has to say to us. Father, I do pray with my brothers and sisters here right now. Would you help us this weekend to hear your voice through our worship times, through times I get to share, through the workshops and times that we're alone reading and reflecting, times when we're interacting with a new friend or someone we've known for a while. Lord, right now we give you the freedom to speak to us, and we pray, Lord, if we hear your voice, would you help us to say yes to you? Would you help us to listen to you? Would you help us to move forward and believe and trust the things that you're saying to us? And I pray this for me, and I pray this for all my friends here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, tonight then, that's all introduction. How about that? But tonight, there's really three stories that we're going to talk about. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story, and we're going to talk about his story, and then we're going to talk a little bit about your story. And I think that will launch us into the whole weekend. Are you relaxed? Are you comfortable? I see some of you have pens and paper. Is there anyone here who wishes that they had a pen but doesn't? Okay, if you wish you had one, just tell your friend. Say, I wish I had a pen, and they'll figure it out. They'll pass you one or something. Okay, my story of seeking the king. I grew up in a military family. My dad was an Air Force officer. That means we moved all over the world, and we really did. I went to high school in Germany. My senior year, we moved from Germany to Spain. And I was ready to move. Something inside me told me it was time to be different. And I didn't know what that meant, but I wanted a change. A number of things were happening around me. I was reading books that made me think about Jesus. Novels, I was listening to music that made me think about God and forever. And one thing after another, I think it was the Holy Spirit, I think it was God at work. Just, he kept directing my face to him. You know, when we had, what's your name? You're the hugger guy. You ran over and hugged your friend, yes. Right? Okay, what's your name?
That's right. Oh, Jonathan.
Okay, Jonathan. You know, Jonathan, you remind me of one of my sons. And when I would start talking to my boys, I'd have to look like, I say, okay, look at me. Look at me. I have something to say to you. and so I have to get, and you know, they wanted to look at me, but it was really, but bug, you know, bird, no, look at me. I think that's what God was doing, is he was getting my attention, saying, Mike, did I invade your personal space?
No.
Okay. I didn't. Okay. Well, God was getting my attention. And, you know, I just loved the songs we sang tonight, because they just completely fit with my story and with what we're talking about tonight. I can remember shortly after moving to Spain, senior year of high school, I went out and I sat in this field, and there was this building there, the hospital, that was blocking all the lights from the Air Force Base. And I laid in this field and I looked up and I saw stars, more stars than I'd ever seen in my life. And I just sat there and looked at them. And somehow the thought crossed my mind that all of these stars, do you know, everything I could see, that it was either there on purpose or it was there by accident. And I remember that question just hanging there. Is this on purpose or is this on accident? And you know, I decided that night that it was on purpose. I could not believe that it was all an accident. Partly because logically, if you think, if it's all an accident, then nothing matters. Then live for yourself, sin a lot, die young. It doesn't matter. If it's all on purpose, then there's a purpose giver who assigns purpose, because purpose doesn't self-assign. And if all of that had purpose and there's a purpose giver, then maybe I had purpose. And that meant maybe my life mattered. And that was exciting to me. I think that night, I just believed really for the first time intellectually that there had to be a God, that He was real. It was interesting then, with that background, just a few nights later, again, a number of things were happening where God kept getting my attention. And I actually, through the USO, this Christian singing group came through this Air Force base. And it was really interesting because I thought, oh, I think I'll go. I didn't have any, you know, much to do. And it was in the summer right before school started. And I went to this concert. And the first soprano was kind of pretty. And we flirted with each other the whole time. And you know how you sit, you think, wow, what would it be like to be with her? You know, oh, you know, and you follow these things. But that was one line of thought. And then there was this other line where, you know, I noticed the people in the front row, they were all carrying Bibles. And they were talking about God as if they knew Him. And I had two simultaneous emotions when I'd hear them, because they'd say, oh God, He, oh my God, He's, you know, my Lord, oh, isn't our Father wonderful, and oh, God is so good to us, and praise God. And I've never heard people talk like that. Now, they weren't opening or the Bible, so maybe they all came from Bible study or something. They all had Bibles. And my emotions, these two simultaneous thoughts, is one is I thought, how arrogant to act like you know Him. But my other one was, how cool. These people, maybe they really do know Him. You know, later on I met some of them, and they were really cool people. But that night I made a connection between the Bible and knowing God. And I went back to my room. I thought, I know I have a Bible here somewhere. You know, we just moved, and I'm throwing things apart. And I found and something happened that night. You know, I'd read the Bible before, but you know what I would do? It would be like 2 in the morning. I just can't sleep. What can I do to sleep? I know. Read the Bible. I would do that. And I'd start reading. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea. It worked. I know. I shouldn't say it. I shouldn't admit it to you. But it worked. But you know what? That night, it was different. For some reason, I turned to Matthew. And I started reading through Matthew. And I got to that place where Jesus says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And it was like I could hear Him saying it. Mike, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything you need will be taken care of. A few nights earlier, I intellectually assented to the reality of God. And that night, as I was reading this word, it was like He was speaking to my heart. He said, Mike, you seek Me. You seek Me, and it will all work out. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything, but I got down on my knees, and I said, God, whatever this means, whatever Jesus means here, that's what I want to do. I want to seek You. I want to seek Your righteousness. You know, all I knew was that I needed Him, and He wanted me. I couldn't tell you anything else. But that night I surrendered my heart to Him. I remember sitting on the bed and thinking, I told Him I'd seek Him. I wonder if He'd let me find Him. And then I kept reading, and just 8 verses later I read Matthew 7:7. You know what that says? Ask. Jesus says this. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. I had a hallelujah moment. My first one, no one even told me to do. I thought, He said, if I seek, I'll find. I got down on my knees and thanked Him. I don't know why I got on my knees. I just thought, if you're going to talk to God, you should probably kneel. That was my tradition. I also thought you should use religious words. Dear Father in heaven. So I used religious words, and I got down on my knees, but in my heart, I was talking to Him. If for the first time in my life. Isn't that wonderful? I can remember it all as if it was yesterday. Of course, it was actually a long, long time ago. That was a life-changing moment for me. I didn't really realize how life-changing it was till later on someone helped me understand some of the truths of the gospel. I said, oh, yes, that's what I did that night. You know, I don't know where you are in your journeys, but keep my story in mind. And if you're thinking, I've never done this, but I'd like to, I'm just going to tell you now. I'd like you tonight to talk to one of your friends here, someone who came with you. And say, hey, can we talk about this? Can we talk about me and Jesus? I mean, you and Jesus. And I'm sure they'd be glad to do that. Let me summarize my story. Intellectual belief. That was my first step. Saying, God, you exist. You are. And God, you give me purpose. I didn't even tell you in the middle I had a failure. In the middle of those few nights, I had a pretty big failure. Moral failure. I was ashamed. God used even that to get my attention. And then, this life-changing moment where I read Matthew 6:33 and got down on my knees and gave my heart and my life to Him. Not understanding it, but doing it anyway. That was when, in that week, is the week I shook His hand, so to speak. And I tell you, that was 33 years ago. And I've not regretted it for 1 minute. Not for 1 minute. I'm so glad He had mercy on me, and that He's helped me over the years to get to know Him better and better. Well, there's more to my story, but let's move on, and I want to talk about the really cool story, and that's His story. We've been talking in my story about my seeking the King. Right now, His story is the King seeking you, and that's really, really what His story is. It's the King seeking you. What I'm going to do is tell you what's called a meta-narrative, the big story. And I'm going to try to go fast because it's the story of forever. And we'll see if we can do it in about 4 or 5 minutes here, maybe 7 or 8. You know, the Scripture says in the beginning there was God, Genesis 1. What that means is that God pre-existed. This God that we're talking about exists apart from time, space, and history. He's not confined by any of them. Before what we know as time, space, and history began, He was. And He always was. And He always will be. Now think about that for a long time and you'll get a headache. Okay? It's like thinking about what comes after eternity. Oh, I don't know. What's underneath infinity? God always was and is, because I think every moment is now to Him, which is also mind-boggling. This God, do you know what He did? He created. In Genesis 1, it says He spoke and it happened. Again and again you read, and God said, pow, and it was. And God said, let there, pow, and it was. He just spoke and things came into being. And in the context of His creation, He was ruling over all creation. He was at the very beginning, and He is today even. I put some verses up here for you. Psalm 146:10 says, the Lord reigns forever. Who reigns typically? A king reigns. The Lord is king. He's reigning forever for all generations. Psalm 93, your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. From long ago, He had this throne in heaven from which He rules. And Isaiah 52:7, you know, popular songs, this puts me back in my era when we all sang, you know, our God reigns, our God rules. And He does. He created and He rules. As a benevolent ruler over all creation, holding it all together. And what we have is this king who has this kingdom. And the kingdom is everything. Everything where He is king, that's the kingdom. But you know what happened? There was an insurrection. Isaiah 14 tells us that in heaven, some of his created beings, who we understand to be angels, who pre-existed, incidentally, Genesis, there were these angels. So there's part of the story we don't know about. We don't hear about the creation of angels. That reminds me that we don't have to know everything. On the other side, we'll find out more. And it's okay. It's kind of cool, actually. Isaiah 14, there's this being, this spiritual being, who decides he should be God. So he must have had some power. It's called the morning star, Lucifer, also known as the devil, Satan, Lucifer. And he said, I will be like him. And do you know what? The king, the creator, said, no, you will not. And this Lucifer led this insurrection, trying to take over, and was banished from the presence of God. So here we have this kingdom of God over all, and within it, this insurrection. Now here's where the story gets really interesting. There's this place called Earth, on which God put creatures in his own image, Adam and Eve. And he was walking with them, and they were fully under his rule. But then this deceptive Lucifer came in as a serpent, disguised himself, and had a little talk with Eve, who then had a little talk with Adam. They decided to believe that what God said was not true. What Lucifer said was true. So they acted on what he said in rebellion to God. The insurrection spread right there into Adam and Eve. And you know what happened? This creation, this insurrection, and immediately what I call the rescue. The rescue began. What actually happened, and it's not up there yet, but see, the Father, the Creator, the King, came back to the garden where he'd placed Adam and Eve and said, where are you? And you know what? They were hiding. But he was seeking them. And you know what he did? He said, you have to leave. You have to leave. I can't be intimate with you. You've gone against me. They didn't know that for generations to come, they and all their descendants would experience separation from the Father. How sad. I think of that today in my own life. What actions am I taking? What actions am I doing? An undertaking that will have an impact on generations to come. Adam and Eve left the garden. They were sent out. The Father took an animal and killed it. And they saw blood probably for the first time. And they saw death for the first time. A picture of what happened to them. And he took skins. And I can imagine I'm skinning it. And even till I'm taking this, see this blood. This is what's happened. You're separating yourself from me. And you need a covering. And he put these clothes on them. And they were clothed for the first time. And then they left. And they took all of us with them. We were in their bellies. And this rescue was going on. Actually, I think I got out of line there. In the heavens, in the garden. But the rescue began throughout the ages. All of these people we've heard about in this book, Abraham, Moses, Deborah, Ruth, David, all of them had a piece to play in the rescue that God was undertaking to bring people, his children, the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve, back into relationship with him. The nations. I love this verse in Acts 17. It says this, God did this, and what he did was he established the boundaries and times of nations, the physical boundaries and the age boundaries, how long a nation would last. He established them. Why? So that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. All of this, that is what God was doing through all of history. The same thing in trying to get our gate. He's been doing that for nations, for people. For millennia, trying to get your attention and your attention and the attention of kings and the attention of paupers. Why? So that perhaps we would seek him and find him, even though he's not far from any of us. It's interesting, too, if you read this book closer, you'll see God picked a people, and they're called Israel, descendants of Abraham. And probably not so much because they were his favorites. But you know why he picked them? Psalm 67 tells us, may God be gracious to us and bless us. Why? That your ways, that should be your ways, that your ways may be known on the earth. Why did God pick Israel and bless Israel? So that everyone else would know God and come to him and be part of his family and come into relationship with him. The rescue continues, and here's where it gets really exciting. And you know this, many of you. It's the story of Jesus. Now, remember when I talked about God in the stars? Here's the most amazing, incredulous thing about this whole story. Do you know what God did? This God who's ruling over everything, he reduced himself to a cell. Somehow he put all of him into this little cell. This sperm, so to speak. And then placed himself in the belly of this girl. And somehow all of God joined this egg and poof, there he was. There he was. He was so powerful that he could reduce himself and put all of his essence and nature into one cell. And he was born, and Scripture calls him the God-man, the Son of God, the Son of Man. We understand why. Hello. Does that mean I'm supposed to stop? Just ignore it? Dinner. Okay. Did you not have dinner? Sorry. I have food in my room, if you want. It's a long way away, but if you just walk around, you might find it. No, come on over, I'll give you some. John 1:14 says that he came and dwelt among us. Is that not totally amazing? That this God who became this cell then came and lived among us? This God who created everything was one of us. Why? Why did he do this? Because he was bored? Because he couldn't think of anything else to do? No. It's part of this rescue. He came and lived among us because he wanted to seek us and rescue us. That's what Luke 19 says. Rescue whom? People that are separate from him. People who are lost, it says. People who are far from him. And then what did he do? He didn't just come around and pass out pamphlets or run for office. He lived a perfect life. Then he went to this cross and died. But you know what he did? It was what was set up in the garden, that because of sin there must be death and separation. He said, I'll take the separation and death so that you can have life. So the sinless one, the God-man, hung on a cross and died, and then rose from the dead, died for your sins and my sins, my going against him, your going against him. I know this is a review for some of you. And what do we do about this? Well, in John 1:12, these are good verses for you to jot down if you're interested in how does this kind of play out. Jesus says, or the record says, that anyone who believes in him could become part of his family. Anyone who puts their trust in him. And that's what we call the good news. The good news is if you put your trust in him, you can be joined with him and no longer be separated from him. You can meet him and have a relationship with him. Well, the story goes on. There's this creation and the instituting of this ruling, this kingdom. And then there's the insurrection. And then there's the rescue. The end of the story, really, is the king will return one day. Lots of Bible verses that talk about him returning. Sometime decide, oh, I'm just going to look and mark all the verses about what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back. One of my favorite ones is in Revelation 21. And do you know what it says? Right in the middle of 1 through 3, it says, God Himself will be with them. The story's come full circle, hasn't it? In the end, there will be this heavenly city, this new city, this new heaven, this new earth. And God, the Creator King, the Savior, He'll be right there with everyone who's put their trust in Him. Can I be honest with you? The first time I really started thinking about forever, I thought, you mean forever? Like forever and ever with no end? Like, can you go to the bathroom? You know, do you ever get a break? And people talk about, oh, we're going to sing praise songs to God all the time. Now, I like praise songs, but all the time? I'm thinking, please, you know? I mean, no offense, but sing forever? You don't sing forever, do you? You do other stuff, too. I'm thinking, what are we going to do? Sing and sing and sing? And then there's going to be this meal, like, I need another meal. And we're going to eat and eat and eat and sing and sing and sing. It would be nice for a while. But then, you know what? I studied it a bit more. I thought, you know what? There's work in heaven. There's jobs. There's things to do. There's responsibility that's given out. I don't know what the work is, but there will be work for people that follow Him here. On the other side, there's this new kingdom that He's creating, and the people who follow Him have put their trust in Him, over whom the blood of Jesus has washed us. These people get to be with Him forever in this city, making it run. How exciting. Right around when I was thinking about this was when Star Wars came out. Oh, God, would you give me a galaxy? You know, says, I don't know if He's going to pass out galaxies or not, but they're finding more all the time, so there may be enough for all of us. Maybe my galaxy will be next door to yours. Anyway, how does galaxy fit into city? I don't know. Okay, that's His story. There is a king. He has a kingdom. He is God. And His name is Jesus Christ. He wants to be sought after. And the purpose of all people is to know this King, to be with Him, to be loved by Him, and to love Him back. Can you read that? So you're squinting. Sorry. Is it pretty small? Oh, it's not that small. I have my glasses on, though. I was doing Bible study yesterday, and I kept thinking, that's not what verse 14 says. Oh, that's not 14, that's 18. Oh, okay. My story, His story, just a few minutes on your story. Will you seek Him? Remember, I told you about what happened when the father found out they'd followed Lucifer, the serpent, and he came looking for them? It says, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? You know, he was seeking them. And he's seeking you. But the question is, will you seek Him? If you seek Him, He will let you find Him. Because He is not far from you. Well, two things. If you've never done this before, I urge you, choose to seek Him. And you don't have to have all the right words. You don't have to kneel or use religious talk. You can just talk to Him. Lord, I choose to seek You, to believe in You, to become Your child. And if you're one of those that say, oh, I did that in fourth grade or ninth grade or last year or last week, we'll just choose to keep seeking. Keep seeking Him, His kingdom, and His righteousness. Just say, Lord, I want to and I choose to. I choose to keep seeking Your rule in my life and Christ's righteousness in my life. So, my story, His story, your story. Friends, let's seek our King. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. And friends, let's bring it full circle. Let's know our God. Jesus said to His Father, now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take a minute again and just pray for you. And then, would you just sit right where you are and reflect on our worship time, on what I've been sharing with you, and then on the other thoughts that have been kind of coming. You know how thoughts kind of come in sideways? You know? Reflect on these things and be asking yourself, Lord, what are you saying to me? And let me tell you something. Don't force it, okay? Okay, afterwards, everyone's going to share what God is saying to them, so I have to come up with something really spiritual sounding so that I can tell everyone something really religious. Well, God is telling me to seek him. Yeah. You know, don't fake it. Yeah. Okay? Because it's okay to say, I'm not sure what he's saying to me yet, but I'm listening. Okay? Would you pray for me that I would hear? Or to say, I'm trying really hard to listen, but I'm so distracted. Why? Oh, it's because of her. It's because of him. It's because of that. It's because of you. You know, whatever it is. Okay? It's okay. Just be honest. Here's where I'm at, okay? Figure out where you're at in listening to him. And we'll just take some moments to reflect on that, and then someone's going to come up, and you're going to split into to groups where you have a chance to interact with one another. Let me pray for us, okay? Father, thank you so much for these men and women. Would you be helping us right now to process well what you're talking to us about? Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.